not have had the fiasco we had last night. Unauthorized taking it down.
Helpful community service workers.
Yeah. I think it's an example of all of us.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't want to know.
The tent came down last night.
All by itself. Instead of being raised.
On top of the screws and the nails and the wire and boards. If I didn't rebel, that wouldn't have happened. Got me nuts, excuse me. Do you feel real bad now, Pete?
Nope.
I don't think it was Pete that rebelled, if I remember right. I think his name was Harry.
Oh, there were several rebellious people, Johnny.
Oh, yeah, let's blame it on Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny the one who rebelled.
The last couple days have been very strange from a spiritual standpoint. It seems like whatever I was listening to on the radio or reading about, or it was about, you know, people really being persecuted, being, it's just something we can't even comprehend it. There was a report that I read or heard that in parts of Rwanda, where the different tribes are at war, that they would go into a village and every woman and child, just about regardless of the age, had been raped by one of the invading armies or invading rebel groups or government troops, whatever, and that they raised the army by giving permission. I mean, that was their reward, was the raping and whatever goods they could steal from the villagers. And so the resultant was, and these people, they killed all the men, and every woman and child in the village had AIDS. They were infected by AIDS because of the rapes, and they had no medicine. And there was, I guess Pete sent it out. Somebody sent out an email about how this normal preacher guy found out on his trip to somewhere, I guess it was Africa, he found this young boy that, I mean, everybody was living in just essentially cardboard boxes, and there was no sewerage, everything, you couldn't tell the mud from the feces, and they all had to walk through it. And in the midst of it, he heard this hymn being sung joyously. And there was this boy that had managed to graduate from high school, or to finish high school, and he was the preacher. And it was total joy. And it caused this man that wrote the email, or the report, that to see how he really believed in the prosperity gospel, because we shouldn't have to put up with this, you know, whatever it is. And it struck me as of how, first of all, how rich we really are, and how fortunate and how unbelievably blessed we really are, and then, but how we complain about everything. And then from a spiritual standpoint, the description of Gus and Jessica's Passover, well, they were so happy that they were able to celebrate Passover, and they had a whole group of people that all pitched in, and they probably did it about as badly as we did the first few Passovers, but that wasn't the point. It was the idea that it was a connection with something that's outside of time and space. And it was this the last 2 days have just been overwhelming in terms of gratitude. Down to and including all of the, you know, whatever it was that well, it was, I know what it was. It was when I was reading the scriptures about the different feasts. I mean, in the New Testament, it said and Passover came, and in Acts when it says in the book Pentecost was fulfilled, and you know, I know it. What is that talking about? So that was the string that I started pulling that resulted in us having the opportunity to at least understand a little bit about the eternal meaning of the feasts and how those feasts connect us, or should connect us, to this place that is outside of time, so that we recognize the eternal life thing. But anyway, there were many other things. And I started... there was another one about this couple that was ministering in an AIDS clinic or an AIDS infected area that was related to that other story I told you about, and they had children, and they had the writer was just amazed that this married couple and their children took no steps to protect themselves from catching AIDS. I mean, other than not having intercourse or probably not exchanging spit or something, but they lived with them. And I remember when we first started having AIDS people here, how we all walked on tiptoes for a while, or whoever it is, whether we have people that come here that have problems with anger management, or somebody else, somebody thinks somebody is weird, compared to what? I mean, there's got to be an understanding with us that there. That our entitlements are gone. We aren't entitled to have air conditioning, or we aren't entitled to have cars that have air conditioning, or even cars that work, or even cars. We're not entitled to have gas and electricity. We're not entitled to have anything but the bare minimum of food and shelter. And I just want us to see that in the economy of things, from God's perspective, we are blessed among, I mean, we truly are blessed among all people. And the idea of taking it lightly, and we take it lightly when there's something. We remember when we've studied this many times, but in large part of our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But the hallowed be thy name, every single time that we point a finger, or every single time that we revert to protecting ourselves, or every single time that there's a complaint or a judgment, that's when we are not hallowing his name. And yet that comes before all the rest of it. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And how unhallowed we make that name with our petty complaints and our even our questions and our we adapt too quickly to comfort, or we adapt too quickly to the familiar. And once we adapt to it, then the automatic is we want more. I was in the mountains of Afghanistan when we were setting up, and I mean, we're talking beyond civilization or any concept of it. And we had to set up these installations way up in the mountains. And in this particular leg of the of this, what we were doing, it was about 2.5 months we were gone. And terrible weather it was. And we didn't bring enough supplies. We didn't bring enough. And we were attached at that time to the embassy in Tokyo. When we got back, it was the same thing that happened when I was in Korea, that the only thing I wanted was a hamburger. I mean, I for some reason I so missed a hamburger. I didn't miss showers, or I didn't miss warm food, or I didn't even miss warm clothes. I missed a hamburger. But as soon as I got a hamburger, then I wanted a steak. And that adaptability of the beast is what keeps us from a position of gratitude all the time. Because we think that it needs to be different and we need to change and we need more. And I think that somehow we have failed, no matter how much we talk about the cross, and I have failed in living in gratitude. It's so easy to look around and say something is wrong and somebody should be different and something else should be this way. But if we could only see, when we do that, we are not hallowing His name. And we're making the rest of the Lord's Prayer meaningless because we haven't started out hallowing His name. And we can, you know, in times like this, we can think, oh yeah, I'm grateful. But again, it's got to be so. Complaining or murmuring is why, you know, Israel was destroyed in the wilderness. And murmuring is complaining is obvious, but murmuring is just that feeling that I wish something were different. And unless that is repented of, then we're going to spend a lifetime from a spiritual perspective murmuring. And we see that the long suffering of our Lord really is salvation. The idea that we would give in to these brute beast kinds of judgments and without repentance is, it makes the rest of the mystery of God just a joke if we think we're living it. Anybody have any response?
Yeah, you're describing a situation where a believer is grateful to God for no matter what circumstances. But in contrast, our behavior sometimes, we take the littlest, tiny, weird thing and make it the most important thing in the world and get obsessed with it.
Well, it's the only way it is to get, I mean, that's what the whole, you know, resist the devil and he'll flee, and don't give place to the devil. Well, the devil is the one in your mind, that's your mind that's lying to you. So that you, I think really from one of the greatest tools of the enemy, of the Antichrist, is ingratitude. And how quickly we adapt to well, it's not just we don't just quickly adapt. We quickly trivialize whatever mystery it is. I mean, it's. I think a long time ago I used to talk about that. My job was to make the commonplace spiritual, and to. And what we want to do is make the spiritual commonplace. And we do that by ingratitude. And then everything else is meaningless. We can have all the feasts and we can preach the cross forever and ever. But the worship service that's going on in you as the temple of the living God is an anathema to the worship of the Lord. But we do it with impunity. We excuse it by, well, isn't that what everybody does? Or anybody else? Josanna? Anything going on? Gary?
I marvel at God's wisdom in choosing us to as his habitation with this in light with this. It's an amazing thing that's somehow in this dirt that we are with all of our opposition to him, he finds it right to dwell in us. So there's something really wild about that to me.
You know, the book of Revelation talks about the Jezebel spirit. You allow this Jezebel. That isn't a male or a female. It's a spirit. Jezebel was us. I mean, Jezebel was a Phoenician that came from a society that was, at least the Highland Park of its day. It was so far advanced compared to the ambient society, especially the society in Israel, that, you know, she was just trying to live her life. And yet, so she caused Israel to compromise with the prosperity gospel. I want to read a couple things in Revelation. We'll go to Revelation 2. Revelation, remember, we've talked often about Revelation 1 as the introduction of of Jesus, of who Revelation is about. He defines who he is. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, etc., etc. And then Revelation 2 is about the message to the seven churches, which are the seven, I suppose you could say it's the 7 days or seven types or the whole mystery of apostasy. So the first one is the church at Ephesus. It's under the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So the whole idea of we can marvel all we want at that he has chosen to abide in us, but without repentance, it's meaningless. Because he's coming quickly. Remember that thou art fallen. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Talk so much about that. You know, there's scholarly books written about who are the Nicolaitans. But all it means is Nico is those that preach. The word Nico in Greek is those that, the success. So it's those that preach success in the name of God. Whether, and that success is any kind of success. You understand that? This thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I hate also, or also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna, write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, or say they are spiritual, and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them there that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, Thyatira. Right, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and thy charity, and thy service and faith, and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, you all understand what it means. You understand what that means, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. You all understand it, right? Does everybody really understand it? Anybody doesn't? You commit fornication when you go somewhere other than God for your satisfaction and sustenance. And you eat things sacrificed unto idols when you get sustenance and satisfaction from the same things that the Gentiles get sustenance and satisfaction from. Is that clear? Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But I say unto you, and unto the rest of Thyatira, that as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, so as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you already hold fast till I come. That which you have already, hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter. They shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church in Sardi write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardi, which have not defiled their garment, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will blot out. And I will not blot out his name of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write unto him, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true, and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am enriched and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke, and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What's the message you get from the message to the seven churches? It's really just one message. It's repent. What's the message that the one that Jesus said was the best that there could ever be of those born among women? The message of John the Baptist was simply bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. The repentance must be constant and continuous and never-ending. And you must pray that the Holy Spirit would be constantly there, that he would show you all of those places in your innermost being where you are still ministering to self. All those places in your innermost being where you're still trying to advance yourself, even in spiritual understanding. And you must truly see from the bottom of the depths of your being that this thing that has guided you your whole life, this identity, this thing that is you, that this you-ness is the chief of sinners and cannot be fixed, cannot be depended on, cannot be relied on. And to him that overcometh, will I give the new name. Amen. Not to him that hangs around. It's to him that overcometh. And he overcometh by one thing and one thing only. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. What does that mean? A whole lot. It means that your life is one of constant gratitude, constant servanthood, constant emptiness, no agendas.
Think about this scripture. It says, walk in the place that you received him. You don't receive him on the mountain.
As you received him, so walk you in him. maybe when you think something is wrong, maybe can you remember that maybe it's you that's wrong? Is that possible? You think somebody's doing something wrong, maybe it's you that are doing something wrong. When you think you need more, maybe it's just that fallen nature that's talking to you. If something needs to be different, maybe it's just you're listening to that voice that doesn't, you're listening to a spirit that doesn't say that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Even if it's more God stuff, even if it's more understanding, no matter what it is, if you think you need more than you have, even if it's all the things about whether or not somebody treats you like you think they should, whether or not, you know, on and on and on, ad nauseum. If you need anything more than you have been freely given, then you're believing a lie. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul when I repent. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, thy affliction and thy tribulation comfort me. Thy having people that I don't like around me, they comfort me. Thy whatever thing that it is that you don't like, it comforts you. It comforts the real you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou hast prepared a table for me even in the presence of my enemy. The table is always there, never stops. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Actually, it says pursue me, as you know. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And forever, if forever isn't start right now, it never will be. If you're not in heaven now, you never will be. John?
So is the inverse true? When everything is good and perfect and the way we want it, it's usually some perversion, satisfying our own desires, our own self, our own wishes, and we jump in that.
Oh, we love that. But so do all the rest of men. Remember, whatever is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. Time and space is it's only to do one thing. It's to antagonize you. And everything in time and space is only to antagonize you. And in the midst of the most severe antagonizing, even somebody making fun of you, Even somebody not giving you the respect you deserve. Even in the midst of, oh, I don't understand. No matter what the situation is, you're content. What?
Even somebody walking back and forth outside your cage with a tin cup rattling periodically coming by and poking you with a stick.
Even if they poke you in the eye with a stick, where it might put your eye out.
Red hot stick. Red pepper stick.
Kevin is warming up.
Hmm.
dum. What?
It's just kind of along what John was saying with if I find myself, you know, serendipitously things are falling into place. I mean, I can see not giving breath to that, not depending my moment of peace on the situation, but at the same time, I'm not going to sabotage when things go well.
No, of course not. But you...
I'm not going to fear that this can't continue.
No, you cannot... There is no waiting for the other foot to drop, shoe to drop in theology. There's no the large print giveth and the small print taketh away theology. So the bottom line is to find the place, or ask the Spirit of God to reveal to you the incredible importance of repentance if you think something is wrong. And not, oh, I'm sorry, I think something is wrong. That's not what repentance is. Repentance is leaving you behind again. Oh my God, I got fooled again. Not you becoming anything, not you getting fixed, not you understanding, not you anything. The mystery of God is you're not in the picture anymore.
But what about me?
Fuck you. I didn't say that. I did not say that. Take it, big guy. What?
I said, that's what happens when Joyce said, I'll let you ramble on.
Oh.
Is that here?
Yeah.